Don't have a college degree but want to be successful? Are you hardworking but not sure what you should do or what path you should take? Have people around you say that you would be good in sales but don't know how to get started? If that's you, then you're going to want to tune in to this episode where we talk about how to get started in channel sales and sell products and services offered by the world's largest brands the right way. And you don't need a college degree and you can build a successful career. Today, I have on Ty Smith, who will give you the roadmap so that you can get to a six-figure career and possibly even make millions with no degree. I'm your host, Junaid Iqbal. I'm the founder of NoDegree.com, a career website that helps you find jobs that don't require a degree. I'm a UMAP-certified career coach and have written over 600 resumes. I've done resumes for people in high school all the way to C-suite across all industries. I have over 280 recommendations at the bottom of my LinkedIn profile. I've gotten people into Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Spotify, Netflix, and more. I'm on a mission to show that a college degree isn't necessary for success. I interview people who will share the strategies to break into the top careers without crushing debt. Let's get started and dive into the world of channel sales.
No degree, no problem. Any problem, we can solve them. LinkedIn Somnia keeps us evolving. We're growing in the knowing.
Welcome to another episode of the No Degree Podcast. I want to personally thank you for tuning in and supporting our show. If you haven't yet, hit that follow or subscribe button. I encourage you, don't keep this to yourself. Share these inspiring stories with your friends. Invite them to subscribe and connect with us on social media. So today, I have on Ty Smith, who's going to share a wealth of knowledge that's going to benefit you regardless of your background. And he's really going to talk about how there are opportunities for people typically in sales and how to break into them. Do you mind sharing what you do, Ty?
Hey, my name is Ty Smith. So I am a channel manager for a telecommunications company. And basically in my role, I help just regular individuals, you know, just follow their dream and get into tech, but not the normal way of working directly for a tech company. We're talking about building your own company where you can actually resell and refer just commercial B2B tech products and solutions from telecommunication services to cloud to SaaS to anything you can imagine.
Wow, this is really good. And I want to really preface this. This is not MLM because I know anytime someone gets that spiel, people think, hey, there's a membership fee.
Nope.
You have to sign up and it's an MLM. These are actual opportunities where you're selling legitimate services that for large companies, because a lot of large companies, they have sales channels and the channel sales is one of the big ways. So let's kind of, can you give a description so that someone has an idea of like, what would they sell and what are like an example?
Yeah. So essentially the easiest way to think about it is that if you are a salesperson right now working for a company and you're selling, let's say, telecommunications products like internet or TV or phone, or maybe you're working for a SaaS company and you're selling software, you're typically going to be selling those two businesses. So this is really kind of the same concept, except that instead of selling a product for one company, you're going to sell products for various companies, over 500 plus companies. I mean, companies ranging from AWS, Microsoft, your Comcast, Cox, Verizon, T-Mobile, Cisco, Palo Alto Networks, everything from cloud to cybersecurity to SaaS solutions to everything all in one. And yeah, you would essentially find your own customers. And when you make these sales, you would get a residual income or residual payment on the monthly rate of what you sold. But you would be doing this totally independent under your own name, your own brand, your own company.
Wow. So how does one find these opportunities?
Yeah. So first step is definitely getting in with a telecommunications or actually a technology services distributor. So a technology services broker is another name for them. And there's a few different ones. So just to give a few names, there's Telarus, Intelsys, there's Sandler Partners, and there's a bunch of others. You can reach out to me and I could definitely provide a full list of them. But these companies essentially provide you with think of it like a license to sell various products and services from various companies that are servicing the Fortune 500 right now. And how it works is that it's a partnership model. So you're selling these products, they're helping you. So these very large IT distribution companies are helping you with closing these deals. And then you're also getting help from the companies that you're selling, whether you're selling Microsoft or Amazon or Comcast or whoever, those companies will actually assist on the deal. So it's really you with two additional parties selling to one business. and all three of you are collectively partnering to make the sale.
Okay. No, that's good to know. So when you get started, how does it look like? Like, are they training you? Do you have to pay anything? What are they looking for? Do you interview?
Yeah, so it's $0 to sign up. So essentially, it's actually a really quick process. So when you reach out to a technology services distributor or a broker, all they really do is have a quick call with you, usually 30 minutes. They'll tell you, hey, this is how our program works. Here are the 200 plus companies that you can sell. When you sell these services, there's usually some type of split that they're going to talk to you about, because there's a portion of the commissions that they're going to have on their side for just helping you with the deals. Typically, they split the commissions 75-25, 70-30, sometimes 80-20, depending on the distribution company that you go with. But in that 30-minute call, they'll outline, hey, this is our splits. This is the companies that you can sell. Here's the support that we provide. So we provide, you know, whether it's training modules, we provide in-person training, regional training, and it's no cost to join. It's completely free because their compensation comes from that commission split. And then they send you a DocuSign. The DocuSign says that you have the right to sell all of these companies and receive these different commission rates for these various companies. And then once you sign the DocuSign and join, you'll have access to their sales portal with tons of resources from, you know, just product marketing sheets that you can put your brand on, like kind of like white papers. You'll have access to compare and contrast database, where if you want to compare what's the difference between this phone company and that phone company, you'll have actual resources on their website that will help you out. And then you'll have a whole slew of sales engineers that you can reach out and ping and tap into any sale that you have as well. So all of that is all included, but 30-minute process, sign up, and then from there, you'll be able to start reselling. And then it's up to you to now go out and hunt and find your customers, find your businesses that you're going to attack.
So now, when you mentioned the splits, now there were like 60, 40, whatever, 70, 30, 80, 20. Are they getting 70? Are you getting the bigger split, or they're getting the bigger split?
Yeah, you're getting the bigger split. They're getting a very, okay, very small portion. So a very small portion just to really do the admin work for you, because they're going to be your people that's going to help you with every transaction. So if, let's say, you are just out and about and you meet someone that says, hey, I have a restaurant in Austin, Texas, and I'm going to be setting it up next month. I'm going to need internet service. The address is 301 6th Street. You would reach out to your distributor, and then you would say, hey, I need to know about internet prices and rates so I could send to my potential customer, because he needs internet services. What companies are available in Austin, Texas? What are the internet rates? What are the prices? They would send you back a list of internet rates, prices, promotions. They would also connect you with the channel managers for those two areas. And then once you connect in with those channel managers, they will now help you with the process of closing that deal, answering any questions that you will have, the customer will have, and they'll kind of assist you along the way. And no matter which option the customer chooses, whether they choose this company or that company, you're going to get paid either way as long as the customer chooses either one of the companies. There's going to be a residual commission that you'll get. Residual commissions, by the way, typically range anywhere from 10 to 20%, depending on the product that you're selling and depending on the model. And that's ongoing monthly commission on whichever monthly package that company chooses. So this is just ongoing money that you're going to get continuously.
Okay, wow. That's very good to know. Now, you've obviously seen a lot of people, and I know what happens in a lot of these scenarios. A lot of people get excited, they're ready to sign up, but it's work, right? And it takes time to build that book of business. I know a lot of people will look at people who've done it for several years and they have these big residuals, but it takes work. It takes effort. You have to go through a lot of things. You're going to go through failures. You're going to have deals fall through. You're going to have ups and downs. So who have you seen do well and who have you seen not do well?
Yeah. So I would say the main thing with this industry, from the ones that have done really well, first step is just confidence, because, you know, you are going to be walking up to business owners and you're going to be walking straight to them, building relationships, having conversations. And, you know, no one's going to tell you where to go to find these business owners. Now, you can, of course, go to your Chamber of Commerce meetings. You can connect with commercial real estate people in your area, because they typically work with new businesses that are coming to town. But, you know, you have to really hold yourself in a way where you're comfortable talking to someone that owns a business, which for some people that can come very easy, for other people that may not. But if you approach them with confidence. Hey, I see you're moving into the area. I'm a local IT consultant. I could definitely help you out with figuring out, you know, what internet providers are available. I work with all of them. I have all different prices and rates. Let's set up a call next week to talk about it. If you can deliver a statement like that to any business owner, then from there, when you get on that call, you'll be able to just really, if you need an engineer, the telecommunication providers can provide those engineers for you, but you should be able to basically say, here's this internet provider, here's their prices, here's the benefits of going with this one, here's this other one that you have an option of. You know, what? Tell me about your business, just regular discovery questions, of course, that you'll need to know. But you should be able to handle that if you first just have the confidence. The confidence is what gets you the meeting. And once you get the meeting, like, you're typically halfway there because you have the services that they need. They are going to get internet. Like, there's very little businesses that can survive without internet. So it's just really just navigating through the rest of the process, which you have a whole team of people that will help you out.
So you mentioned like services like internet providers, there's a cloud providers. What are some other interesting things that people sell that people don't normally think of?
I would say the most interesting one right now is definitely if you're looking into it's, so it's abbreviated as customer experience software, but in reality, it's really just call center software. So you think about a call center, you know, you have 500 people in an office taking calls. There's some type of software that they're using that's going to tell them how many calls are waiting on hold. You know, it's going to tell them, you know, if they have another call that they need to transfer, or if they need to basically hook up this customer to their CRM and check their profile. Like, there's some type of software that is involved in all of the different call center employees. Call center software is one of the growing things, and it's not necessarily for the call center anymore. Now that people are getting a little more interactive with their customer experience, that's starting to evolve into now just this whole realm of customer experience software where you have AI chat boxes where people are chatting with an AI first. And then from there, that now technology takes them into a phone representative that's going to have details from an AI. Hey, this person is talking to you because blank, 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 and blank. Or potentially it's going to be in the future just AI calling software that is going to be just an AI that companies are going to deploy to make those initial outbound calls. But all of that software is readily available to sell, and it typically goes for quite a bit. The typical orders when we're talking about this platform, another abbreviation for it is CCaaS, which is Contact Center as a Service. The deal size is typically average anywhere from about $35,000 a month, you know, according to most analysts right now. So that is really something that if you were to get a 10 to 20% residual on, I mean, that's a really, you know, big residual check. And then on top of that, many of these companies right now are offering spiffs. And this is something that you want to ask depending on the company that you're talking to. But spiffs are essentially an upfront payment that you get, which is whatever monthly rate that the customer signed up for times a particular promotional spiff number, whether it's times 5, times 4. And that's money that you would get upfront once the service is installed. So usually after a couple months after install, it would come to you. So let's just say an example where you sold an average contact center deal of $35,000 a month, times that by 5 if they're running like a 5x spiff, and you'd be getting about $175,000 upfront as a one-time check to yourself, plus the residual commissions of potentially $3,500 or more from that one sale. So that is one of the most interesting ones out there and one of the most lucrative ones that we're seeing right now.
Okay. So now let's go into how long does a sale like this take? Like, people think like, oh, I'm going to just walk in, I'm going to spend a month, I'm going to make this $175,000 and make this big fat residual. But let's go into the realities, because it takes time to build these relationships, right? You have to talk to people for years. Some people you may know for several years and you don't get a deal like that for 4 or 5 years. And I've seen some scenarios where it's like relationships that people have had for 10 plus years. And then when that person gets, they're heading a new division, or it's the timing, or the contract's up. Hey, maybe they had a 5-10 year contract and now the contract's up and they have to try something, and you have to be there at the right time and you have to stay in contact. So what are the realities in terms of like a deal size like that? Like, who are the people who are, you know, doing well for those deal sizes? And is it usually like you start with smaller services, like, hey, you're doing internet easy, you're getting used to this, and then you're moving up to bigger services?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. So definitely depending on what you attack, I mean, your deals can be small business, medium business, large business, enterprise. And as we know, just in this industry, you know, the bigger the company, typically the longer the sales cycle, because if you're dealing with a company with 10,000 employees, you're going to have a lot of decision makers that have to sign off on that deal, especially if it's a very large deal size. So yeah, the same rules that would apply to just working in sales as an account executive and same type of, you know, lens can typically come into play. But the time when it doesn't, which is the one tip that I give people, is that when a brand new business is moving in and they need service by a certain time period, if you know that there is a very large opening of a casino, a mall, a hotel, and it has to open on a certain date, then that is where you typically will have a much better time with navigating those deal times, because you can now kind of push the decision making along a lot faster, saying, hey, this internet is going to take 3 months to put in because it's a brand new location. We have to issue construction trucks and et cetera, you know, from the actual internet provider. So we got to make this decision 3 months before you open. And you say that you're opening 4 months from now. So we got to make this decision in the next month or so. So typically, if you're dealing with people that are moving in or setting up a brand new business, that's usually where the deal sizes are a lot quicker versus an existing business that doesn't necessarily need the service or need to switch over to a different provider. That's more of potentially a luxury or something that might benefit, but it's not necessarily, hey, ground zero, like we need this right now. And in those scenarios, it could take a little longer.
Okay. Now, like, when do you see people really get comfortable with it? Because it's not, I'm pretty sure there's some people who get in and 2 to 3 months are kicking it. But when do you really see people get into the swing of things?
Yeah, so I think it really depends on what you attack. So for example, if anyone got in there and let's just say that you had a home-based business and you sold internet to yourself, or you sold internet to a friend that you have that has like a home-based business or a small office, you know, those type of small deals are typically things that sometimes people start with in this industry, or let's say they have an office themselves and they'll sell internet to their own office just so they can see the process. Because typically once you see one deal go through and you understand like, okay, there's a contract that comes. All right, we have to sign here. This is what the contract looks like. All right, when we sign the contract, there's a technician that's going to reach out. There's a project manager from the telecommunications company that's going to reach out. Once you kind of understand that flow and that cadence of all the steps that are involved, then typically from there, you know, that's where you usually feel comfortable enough to kind of take on the next one and the next one and the next one. But it also depends on the products that you attack, because there's two types of models with this. There's the model where you're essentially kind of quarterbacking the deal start to finish from the beginning till the end, till close. So you are handling, hey, we got to go talk to this customer. Let's do these meetings. Let's get the contract signed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then there's a more referral model. And this is with some of the other companies that are in this industry. And some of these companies will say, hey, we're just looking for a decision maker and we will do the rest. We have an account executive team. We just need you to bring us a decision maker. If you're working with one of those companies, and typically those are phone providers, you know, CCaaS providers, like I was mentioning before. So contact center, call center software companies, many cloud providers are like this as well, like managed service providers. They will just basically take over that deal for you if you just can provide them with a really good decision maker, a VP of IT at a very large company or a director of IT at a mid-sized company. You make that introduction and they will just run it with their AE teams and try to close it for you. Those are one of the best ones to get involved with, especially if you're new, because you don't have all the pressure of doing it yourself.
Okay. Now, so obviously there are different people entering this industry, right? There are people, maybe they're after a career, there are people early on their career, and there are people who may just come from very non-traditional backgrounds. So let's talk about, I know that this industry is very friendly to people who, you know, have a record, right? Maybe they've gone to some things and, you know, now they want something. And unfortunately, a lot of companies, right, if they, you know, once they run the background check to see a record, they will not even talk to. Whereas like this area is pretty friendly. It's all about the work that you can put in, and if you can sell and you can build the contacts, you can do well. Can you dive a little deeper into that?
Yeah, definitely. So the main thing to realize with this thing is that this is entrepreneurship, meaning that you're not applying for any roles or jobs or working for any company you are working for yourself, you're literally setting up your own business. Whether you're setting up a sole proprietorship with just your name and social, just the most basic business that you can set up, or you're, for example, going larger with like an LLC or C Corp, but this is entrepreneurship. And in entrepreneurship, there is no requirements. You know, there's no requirements on what you have to have on your background. There's no requirements on, you know, certain certifications that you have to have. This is just complete entrepreneurship. So anybody can play no matter what your background is. So if you had a situation where you can't get into these various tech companies because of either you don't have a particular pedigree that they're asking for, or you might have something, you know, on your record that might prevent that, entrepreneurship is a way to kind of circumvent that because you are now setting up your own IT consulting company. So, you know, if your name was John, this would be John's IT Consulting. This is your company now that you're doing, and you're essentially offering and reselling and recommending services from all of these companies. And the reason why it's so open is because, like, if you really think about just how everybody is right now, everyone is opinionated and everyone has an opinion on services. If you talk to someone and ask them about their phone, typically they'll say, oh yeah, get the iPhone, you know, instead of the Samsung, yeah. Get the Samsung instead of the iPhone. Oh, get this internet company. Oh, I don't like this internet. I like T-Mobile, not Verizon. I like Verizon, not T-Mobile. Yeah. Everyone has an opinion. So all you're doing is just you're monetizing your opinion, because you can make that opinion to a business owner and a business owner says, yeah, great idea. I will get T-Mobile business phones. But if you're not registered as like an actual partner, then you won't be able to get that 10%, 15%, whichever commission that you're eligible for making that recommendation. This is just the process of monetizing your recommendations with any business that you work with.
No, that's a good point, right? Understanding. And then since you have access to many different things, if the business owner likes T-Mobile, if they like this, you have those options. Now, who doesn't do well? You know, because they have dreams and it's like you see them and then they just don't do well. And what would you say are the biggest reasons people don't tend to succeed in this industry?
Yeah. So first step, you know, there is no salary. So that's the first thing that I think people need to wrap their heads around. You do have to sell until you're kind of happy with the residual commissions that you're getting. So that's step one. And the other thing to mention as well is that with it being no salary, it doesn't mean you have to bootstrap your way up. You can make a business plan and go to an investor and get startup capital to actually build out your business as well. That's another option too. But the people that I would say don't necessarily do well are the ones that, for, you know, whichever reason, just don't reach out to people and don't network. You know, we're moving into this era right now where it's getting a lot of talk on social media that in the future, because of AI and where we're going, that people are largely going to be selling to people that they know. If you think about it, most people aren't picking up blind calls anymore if they don't recognize the actual phone. Yeah. So you have to be someone that's willing to go out there and make relationships with people. So you have to be willing to make relationships with, you know, someone that you met at a conference, a networking event, someone that you saw online on LinkedIn. You have to be willing to let people know what you do, let people know how you can help them, and let as many people know that as possible. You know, help others with small recommendations about their technology, be that pillar. But if you're not willing to do that, if you're waiting for things to come to you, it's not going to happen. You know, there's really nothing you can do to have tons and tons of businesses, you know, track you down unless you're spending, you know, X amount of thousands or millions in advertising. This is something where you really have to go out and find your customers. So you have to have, I guess, a hunter mentality for this. But luckily, a lot of people do. If you look at how many SDRs and BDRs and all these people out there, there's so many people that have that skill. People watching this right now, there's probably some SDR, BDR that's watching this that will probably have the skill and probably thinking, yeah, I could probably go out there and sell on my own. And you actually can, you know, so, but if you're someone that relies on, let's say, a manager or a director to tell you what to do, who to sell to, who to talk to, what strategy you use, if you need that, then definitely stay in the world of doing tech sales for an actual employer. But if you don't need that, if you're like, hey, I love just selling and I love when my management team just leaves me alone, lets me sell, then this might be an opportunity for you because you're going to be selling and there's going to be no management team up above. You're going to be going out there with no rules on where you can sell. You can go across the world. You can sell not just in the USA, over in Europe, in Asia, in Africa. You can sell worldwide. So that's really kind of the differentiator, because both career paths are great. You know, the tech sales career path, going up to be an SDR, an AE, you know, SDR manager, that's a great career path. Channel sales is also a great career path. It all depends on if you need that overhead support.
Yeah. So typically, based on what you've seen, what's a reasonable time frame to where someone can get to where they're earning a living, right? That would it does is it like at the 6 month period, at a 1 year period?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, 6 months to a year, you know, typically, you know, is where if you're bootstrapping. So if you're bootstrapping, definitely 6 months to a year, because you know you want to hopefully get to a point where your residuals are creeping past, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 a month, and then going forward from there. Because when you have those residuals checks, it's great. I mean, the checks come in, you know, and you can just kind of relax for a little bit. But you know, there are things that happen. Businesses do close down. Businesses do, you know, change their mind and cancel services, and you know, sometimes want to work with somebody else. So the residual check isn't always guaranteed when you have it. You always still want to keep padding that as much as possible. Yep. But typically after a year or so is where you'll kind of be in a good spot, and you can kind of strategically plan. But if you are engulfed in the startup world, so to anyone watching that is into startups, and or maybe you're just a fan of Shark Tank, so this is a business that you can actually put on a pitch deck and you can take to accelerators, investors, and there are, you know, VCs out there that will invest in your business if you have a really good plan. If you come to them and say, hey, if I had $100,000, I would build out a team with two SDRs, and my marketing strategy would be, you know, hitting these three cities, and you know, my plan of attack of, you know, selling, I would be offering these three products, you know, working with these, you know, three or four companies. If you had that fleshed out on a deck, you can potentially get that investment with talking to the right VC, where you won't have to bootstrap. So that's an option as well.
Okay, that's very interesting. And now, do you see a lot of people do it in a way that they have their day job and they're building up the residuals so that when they're not starting from zero, and that they now you're starting and it's like, okay, maybe it's $2,000 a month, maybe it's $3,000 a month, but it's a lot better, and you know the process that you've learned. Have you seen that happen a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have people that are in the channel right now that are construction workers. You know, they know all the businesses that are coming to town, and every once in a while, it's like, hey, I made friends with this person that's moving into this business here that we just built this building. I know who's going in here, and they want internet. So can you send me the prices or the contracts so we can get it signed? Yeah, we see that all the time. Plumbers, you know, people that do commercial plumbing, you know, they know who's coming. Anyone that does any type of commercial utilities, you have insights on what businesses are coming in. We've seen people that work on the commercial real estate side or the leasing side. We've seen team people that work on the legal side because they also know who's coming in as well. So, but also just anyone, just regular people. Maybe you are just someone that you just happen to know a few businesses, or you're the type of person when you go to a restaurant, you know, you talk to the manager or the owner of the restaurant, if it's like a small local restaurant. If you're that person and you have those relationships, yeah, we've seen people just on the side on a Saturday or Sunday, yeah, let me help this person with their internet. Yeah, let me help this person with this. Let me help this person with this. And they'll just start building that up little by little by little by little. And then from there, they'll be able to go on and hopefully get enough residuals where they can now make that their main, you know, career and leave what they're doing right now.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. Now, so what would you say are like the personalities? Like, would you separate out different groups? Like, hey, here are the young people. Here's the people who are leaving corporate jobs. Here's the people who are switching careers. Are there certain personalities that you're seeing?
So I definitely think that right now we're kind of in an interesting period in the channel, because you know, the channel got really, really popular, I would say, in the early 2000s, when a lot of these different distributors came on board, you know, one being Telaris, you know, there's Sandler Partners as well. And, you know, they did a really good job during that period of getting a lot of people on board, a lot of people to build their own IT companies, start their own IT companies, get into reselling, and, you know, attack the Fortune 500. And a lot of these companies are now at the point where it's now 15 years, you know, 20 years that they've been around, and many of them are starting to sell off their book of business. Many of them are starting to sell their companies. Many of them are starting to retire, you know, hand off their businesses. There's a changing of the guard that's happening. And I think it's very, very important, you know, for anyone that is looking into this industry, especially if you're thinking about being an SDR, if you are an SDR and you just are tired of whichever micromanagement that you might be dealing with or facing, this is something where you could potentially step in and potentially land one of those very large customers while there's this changing of the guard of some of these IT companies, you know, selling off, you know, their businesses. So yeah, I definitely think there's a whole new playing field. And especially now that we're talking about new technology too, because some of these companies are now saying, hey, we want to buy an AI chat box. If you know about AI chat boxes, if you're building your own custom ChatGPT, you can work with companies like Zoom or Five9, and you can help with reselling their AI chat boxes that they actually sell. And these are very, very large deals that you can sell to companies. So yeah, definitely there's a big play for the younger audience, but there is a mainstay of partners right now that do have a lot of relationships out there, but there's still plenty of relationships to grab.
Okay. Now, I want to ask, because, okay, you're getting these residuals. What are some of the business expenses that people have? Because it's like, hey, you may require some sales tools, or is that provided? Like, what are the typical expenses that someone runs into? Because I know that sometimes if you're getting big residuals, you may start building out a team, you may start investing into social media, you're going into conferences, and just other things, right? It takes money to make money. In the beginning, you can do the deals, right? The smaller deals. But if you want to get those bigger deals, there are probably things that you need to do and invest and maybe take out clients and all that.
Yeah. So absolutely. So, you know, depending on how you structure your business, because there's, you know, I see a lot of very successful just two-person businesses, husband and wife, but I also see companies that are fully built out. But yeah, you want to be mindful of, you know, your expenses and what you're using, because yeah, you are going to have to purchase your own CRM software if you decide to manage customers in that way, which is recommended. You are going to hopefully have to show up to some events, whether that's the Chamber of Commerce in your local area. Maybe you might go to like a commercial real estate event like NAIOP or BOMA in your local area. Maybe you might travel. Potentially, you know, you might chase down a customer in the Bahamas if you want to go that route. Maybe find a hotel that you can sell, you know, cybersecurity to. So there's all different routes that you can kind of go with this. And I definitely think that you want to be mindful with whichever expenses that you start to accumulate, because you know you can really get a lot of residuals coming in, but depending on how you're managing your business, just like with any business, you know, you want to be mindful of, well, all right, should I have a project manager or should I have a salesperson? Which one would be better for my business? Am I lacking in customer experience where I need a project manager, or am I lacking in the actual customers that I have? I only have two. I need three more. I need a salesperson to kind of get some more customers. So, but that's where we're definitely getting in with investors is key, which I definitely recommend people look into that route as well. You know, bootstrapping is awesome, but there are some investors that are looking to diversify in this field that can definitely help out with providing some capital or just advising on that piece of it.
Okay. Now, do people, like, are there communities that, like, they help each other out? Like, are you part of any communities where it's like, hey, maybe I do channel sales in New Jersey and you do it in Las Vegas, so we're in the same industry, but we're not necessarily competitors, and we'll share tips and tricks. Like, because I've often found in this type of thing, right, entrepreneurship is very lonely, and it's always good to be able to have communities that you can lean in on, or, you know, have mentors to go to.
Yeah. So there are a lot of really good programs and resources. So to name out a few, there are three really good publications that you should probably check out. So Channel Vision magazine and just the whole Channel Vision organization is a really, really good one to just be a part of. They do conferences every year. They have just really good articles, you know, from people that are in the industry that have been there for a while. And they have just a great just community of folks that are part of that organization. And then also Channel Futures is another one. So it's a publication. They also have events as well. They're affiliated with the Channel Partners Expo that comes every single year. So that is another one to get involved with. The Channel Partners Expo has over 8,000, you know, different people from the partner community that come down to Las Vegas every year. There's one in March. The IT Expo community is also a big one too. So IT Expo is another big organization that, or a conference that comes to Florida every single year, we can go and network with other people, because you're absolutely right. There are ways to partner. Like if you get in and you're just like, hey, I am really just comfortable with cell phones. Like I'm an expert in cell phones. I used to sell cell phones at a retail store and I know how to sell cell phones to businesses. That's all I want to sell. You might meet someone that's like, hey, I like internet. I used to sell internet for a call center when I was doing residential. Now I sell internet to businesses, and that's all I like to sell. So now you both can potentially tag team. Hey, you offer the cell phones, I offer the internet, and then you can seek more ground. So there are those partnerships that do exist, because you can frame this business depending on what your strengths are into whatever you want it to be. If you are a cybersecurity person, hey, I'm going to just focus on cybersecurity. Hey, you focus on internet and let's partner up together. All of that is available, and there's lots of communities that you can come together and meet people that you can partner with.
Okay, awesome. Now, what are some mistakes that people make?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is taking a lot of time in the beginning to, you know, come up with the right business name, the right strategy, the right approach. You know, unless you're going after VC funding in the beginning, then maybe that makes sense. But if you're trying to bootstrap, and you're spending months on, okay, I want to get into this, but I don't know if I should call my company, you know, Lisa's Consulting, or if I should call it, you know, Lisa's IT Consulting. I don't know if I should call it this or call it that. I don't know what my logo should be. All of that really doesn't matter. There's really successful, you know, multimillionaire IT consultants that just sell under their actual first name and last name. Like their company is literally their first name and last name, LLC. So, so that's one of the biggest errors. I think the biggest error is really just not quoting, because quoting is one of the easiest things that you can do. And what I mean by quoting is essentially getting an address, whether you have a customer or not. It's just getting an address. Hey, 4140 Jones Street in, you know, Salt Lake City, Utah. Getting that address, running it through your tools, and just looking to see what's available. What's available for internet? What's available for phone service? What's available for, you know, potential cloud or cybersecurity? Quoting is like the most important thing, because it gives you that practice of getting those prices and services for when you do have an actual customer in front of you or a customer call coming up. You know, you'll know how to do it. You'll know how to be able to get the information. So, and it really takes nothing at all to quote. You're literally just sending a one sentence email to your distributor. Hey, I need prices and information for this address, or I'm talking to this type of business, a bakery that, you know, has four employees. I need advice on what type of cloud services to provide them. You know, that is one sentence email. The people that send those one sentence emails immediately when they join typically do better in the long run, because they kind of get those first few quote jitters out of the way. And that's what I 100% recommend doing.
What are some mistakes that people who are trying to get to the next level, like maybe, you know, they've got to that residual 5 to 10K a month. What have you seen? It's like, no, you can't, you that's too much of a leap. You have to like do it strategically.
Yeah. So definitely I think when it comes to going after kind of the, and I guess this is in a lot of different, you know, business podcasts and everything, but the whole shiny object syndrome, I think, exists here. So there's always going to be a new product or service that's going to be out there that looks really cool. So let's say you're selling today's fancy terminology, because there's always some new jargon. So I remember a couple years back, it was SASE, which was, you know, Secure Access Service Edge. And it was this whole new thing that was going to basically protect your customers, you know, data from end to end, wherever it goes, you know. Yeah. But if you were just like a telecommunications person and you're making tons of money, just focus on that. But now you're spending money on now hiring people, engineers and cloud people that handle that, and that originally wasn't your wheelhouse, you can end up potentially spending money on selling a product or service that might just be a trend or a fad that might be replaced for something else, because this is technology. So you can focus all your time on, hey, I'm gonna focus on selling this new thing, and then this other thing can come out. You know, I'm gonna focus on selling this type of, you know, contact center software, wherein now AI chat boxes are coming out. Like there's different things that you can kind of get involved with if you just go after the new shiny object. It's good to just kind of stick to like your bread and butter of what you're comfortable with, what your customers are asking you for, and then slowly creep into the next new product and not just like jump all the way in with neglecting like your core business.
So what's the craziest monthly residual that you've seen for like a small team?
I mean, like I've seen people, you know, for example, I'll give one example. There's a very, very large company that has 3,000 different retail chain stores all over the USA and globally.
Yeah.
I mean, like this company, for example, has like maybe $300 a month internet bill, you know, $200 a month in cloud, maybe $500 mixed in of, you know, some phone services and maybe some backup, all of that. All in all, this company's probably spending like $1,000 a month in services at each location.
Yeah.
So you take 3,000 locations, you times it by $1,000 a month. This company spends $3 million a month in their whole cloud, IT, telecommunications, et cetera, et cetera. The person that sold them all of those services, minimal, is getting a 10%, typically is getting a 10% residual on the minimum. They might be getting more. They might be getting 12 or 15. So that means minimum they're getting $300,000 a month for having a relationship with one very large company, just one very large Fortune 500 company. They're getting $300,000 a month coming in. Now that $300,000 a month isn't just going to that person. That person does have, you know, two different salespeople that are handling the small transactions. Yeah. Like, hey, we need to upgrade our modem. Hey, we need to change our IP. Hey, we need to they also have a couple engineers staffed. Hey, we need to like move our server location from Texas to Virginia. They have a HR person, a accountant there that's handling the finances. They have a marketing person as well. There's a project manager, and then there's like a director of the office and a VP of the office. But all of those salaries can be paid with half of that residual that's coming in.
Yeah.
The other half of the residual is just money that just comes in. That's $150,000 a month that comes in month after month after month. And that's one example. But if you think about every single Fortune 500 company, according to CompTIA, it's estimated that more than half of them have a very small IT company of, you know, 5 to 10 people that is doing majority of their IT and getting that residual income coming in.
Wow. That is very cool. Now, have you seen this industry change or shift since you've been in it?
Yeah. So I definitely see, as of right now, you know, there is a really big push right now into AI, because AI is now creating more of a push on the software, where before the easy money in the bank was internet. So if you started in this industry 20 years ago, when internet and broadband and fiber and these technologies were just getting like, you know, popular in this industry, you know, there are people that made a ton of money, you know, with just selling all of those various telecommunications products and wide area networking products. But nowadays, the big push is really going to be all the different just AI and cloud-based software that's available and that's becoming available. So it's really going to be a interesting move of, you know, hey, what are we going to do with many of these call centers? Our customers, you know, our Fortune 500 customers, going to start moving from call centers to just having chats. Like I know that there's companies that I personally, you know, use on a day-to-day, and they used to have a call center where I can call maybe to change my airline, and now I have to just chat with them because there is no call center anymore. So in that situation, someone sold them some contact center as a service software, you know, a chat box, a integration with their CRM, et cetera, which that's a software play. And that's a very large software play that somebody did. And most likely that person that did it probably was the original person that sold that airline telecommunications services back in the day, but now they're moving into more of this whole thing of customer experience. And that's really one of the big buzzwords. So you'll see CX and EX. So those two are very, very big terminologies, which is customer experience and employee experience, because businesses want to make sure that they have the best possible customer experience, which is fast response times. They want to make it easy for customers to communicate with them. So having integrated software that integrates text messages with your chat messages, you know, with your emails, you know, that software is going to be key. And there's still a lot of companies that don't have that right now.
Now, what's something that you want to share that I haven't asked you about this industry?
So I would say that the thing that I So one thing that I think that people can think about, because I'm sure that someone out there is probably watching this and maybe they are a parent and they're just like, hey, I want my kid to have a great job, you know, great career. Maybe that their kid is in high school, but they notice, you know, my kid doesn't really like following the rules. They are watching a bunch of stuff on TikTok. They're very maybe anti-corporate. I don't think that they ever want to do this job or that job. You know, it might be a good idea just to potentially have them learn about these options, because it's very possible that if that kid is spending a lot of time with technology, they're spending maybe a lot of time with their cell phone with different applications, they potentially might be just naturally a good consultant because they're using the technology. They understand, hey, you know, you need to get this internet for the house for my gaming, because when you get this internet, you know, it's not fast enough. You need to upgrade the internet speed to 500 megabits per second, or you need to upgrade the internet speed to a gig so, you know, I can game better. If you hear your kid like talking about this type of stuff, this is potential signs that maybe they should potentially go the route of IT consulting, because, you know, like we were talking about, the earlier that you start and get into this, you know, you can build up those residuals and those relationships over time. And if you can get like your trial and error period done when you're 18 to 20, and then by the time you're 21, 22, like you already kind of have your sales pitch, your presentation down, like you're ready to go, you can be very, very ahead of the game. Many of the successful people that we see in this industry, you know, they have a friend or family member or whoever that was in this industry 20 years ago, and they passed it down to their kid. So, you know, this isn't a world where everyone has that opportunity. And I think that for the majority of people that don't have that opportunity, you know, I think the main thing is just get educated about this industry. Try to get like your friends and family members at least aware this industry exists. And then from there, you know, just get people started as early as they can. You know, by the time when they're 25, 26, maybe they've already sold off their first IT company. And maybe they're like, hey, you know, I sold my IT company. Now I'm going to be a, you know, director of IT at this company. Maybe they want to go back into corporate. So I would say that's one thing. And then if I could add one other thing.
Of course you can. Go ahead.
Yeah. I would say that it's also important to look at the paths of people that have done it before. So I think there's two very, very popular stories that are out there. One is Mark Cuban, which many people know and follow. So Mark Cuban often talks about the company that he sold, which was his broadcast.com company for $5.7 billion. He sold that to Amazon. But the company before that, the first company that he sold, the very first million that he made, was actually a company that's very similar to what we're talking about. It was a basically a telecommunications reseller and IT integration company. So, you know, his story, and you can kind of, you know, watch his content for a little more details on it, but he was working at a retailer, at a computer shop. He wanted to sell to customers face-to-face and do things his own way. He didn't want to have a boss anymore. So he left, reached out to the computer manufacturers, software manufacturers, said, hey, can I have a resell agreement so I can resell your services and you could pay me a residual income? They said yes, and he went out to all different people all over Dallas, Texas, and started offering his solutions to different law offices and all different customers. He found a very, very large customer, with that being Ross Perot, who was a billionaire at that time, who owned many different, you know, just offices and locations. And Ross Perot said, "Yeah, you know, let's get the internet, the software, all of that." And Mark Cuban says in his interviews that he was making over, you know, $1 million in residual income. And then by the time he sold his company a few years later, he sold his company for $6 million. And that was the money that got him the freedom. And he literally took that money and he bought a plane ticket that was $250,000, allowed him to travel around the world. And he did that for, you know, 3 to 4 years and just had fun, partied, you know, went to all different places. But while he was out there, he also met and reconnected with his business partners, future business partners that were working on the startup. He had the money, so he jumped in as well. Hey, let's grow this. And then they sold that startup for $5.7 billion. But he got that free money and freedom from starting a business like this at a very young age. And that is one of the biggest stories. The other one to look at is David Stewart. And David Stewart, short version, worked at FedEx as account executive, left FedEx at 1990 and was like, hey, a lot of people are buying internet. I got a lot of contacts from me being an account executive and take all my contacts that I have and I'm going to sell them internet services. And he set up his own internet reselling company. And now that company is called Worldwide Technology. It's a multi-billion dollar company. He's a very successful IT billionaire right now. And he started just doing exactly what we're talking about here.
Wow, that's amazing. So thank you so much for sharing this. This was a very informative episode. I know the listeners got a lot of value. How would people, you know, contact you, get in touch with you so they could get started?
Yeah, absolutely. So feel free to reach out. You can contact me on LinkedIn. So I have a LinkedIn page. If you go on LinkedIn, the slash, you can put in my full name, which is Tyrell Smith, T-Y-R-E-L-L-S-M-I-T-H. So feel free, connect with me. We could chat. There's a calendar link on my page. We can talk about just how to get in. I can get you connected with whichever distributor, tell you more about the different distributors. We also have different events that we go to. So if you're in the city of Las Vegas or Fort Lauderdale or Phoenix, Arizona, there is IT Expo, there is Channel Vision, and there's also Channel Partners Expo in Las Vegas. You can go to any of those events, and myself or one of my peers are usually there, and we can tell you all about this. And it's not just us, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of other people that are in this industry as well that will be at these events too.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. I'll share your LinkedIn in the show notes. I appreciate you. Looking forward to meeting again in person one day.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely going to be in person. Yeah. So I really appreciate you having me on. This was a great time just talking to your audience, and you know, hopefully, people out there are feeling inspired, feeling pumped up to learn more about this industry. And yeah, just thank you. And thank you for all you do just in your community, just helping everyone out there. I think it's super cool. I think everyone should click the like button, subscribe, and yeah, I can't say anything more.
Another great episode. Thank you for listening. Hopefully this information was valuable and you learned a lot. Stay tuned for the next episode. This show is sponsored by you. No Degree wants to remain free from influence so that we can talk about the topics without bias. If you think the show is worth a dollar or two, please check out our Patreon page. Any amount is appreciated and will go towards making future episodes even better. Follow us on Instagram or Snapchat at No Degree Podcast. On Facebook at facebook.com/nodegreeinc. If you want to personally reach out to me, connect or follow me on LinkedIn at Junaid Iqbal, spelled J-O-N-A-E-D, last name I-Q-B-A-L. Until next time, no degree, no problem, nodegree.com.